Parshas Bechukosai, the last parsha ends with some very harsh words. The last parsha Bechukosai is the tenai, the conditions of how life will look if a person does what the Kodesh Baruch Hu expects from him. And unfortunately, the Holocaust and terrible suffering and yisurin to those people who don't take Torah and mitzvah seriously. And at the end of the parasha, after this long, terrifying teichacha, there are a few mitzvahs. In Perek Chof Zayin, by Revi, Perek Chof Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, by Daber Hashem al Moshe Lemo, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to Klal Yisrael, v'amarta leim, and tell them as follows, Ish ki yafli neide be'erkecho nefoshes l'Hashem. If a person is yafli, what's the lashon of yafli? Yafli means does something like a pele, generally it means, something wondrous. And he makes an erkechol nefoshes l'Hashem. He does an erach, he does an evaluation of nefoshes l'Hashem. V'hoya erkechol azocha, and then it starts talking about how the values of erichim work. So let's just get a quick introduction over here, and see there's a halachas, there's a whole mesechtes erichim, that identifies the differences between erichim and domei olai. What does that mean? Like this. A person has a right, a person has a privilege to give and make hektish anything he wants. And it can be for the base of Mikdosh, as long as it's not something that is a dova osa, as long as it's not something that is a bizoyim for the base of Mikdosh, but he can make his behemoth hektish, he can make his nechosim, he can make his articles hektish, and also a person has a right to make to an extent kedusha or hektish take hold of an individual as well, of a human being as well. And he has two ways of doing that. One way of doing it is what we call erichin. Erichin is a person comes and he says, erach, I want to give the value of myself. Erach, I want to give the erichin. The erach means, the value is not the correct word. And that's therefore not going to say that the erach. I'm going to give the erach of myself to Hektish. Or, I want to give for my wife's birthday, the erech of my wife to Hektish. And if that's the case, there's a very fixed amount. The Torah says that it depends what age and what gender that person is. That's it. That's it. If the person is 30-year-old male, he'll give X amount. If it's a 16-year-old girl, it'll be X amount. And it makes no difference at all how healthy, how talented, how clever, how established. Makes no difference how well this person's doing in any other sphere in the world. This person may be a professional tennis player, earning $1 million a season. This person will, the erech of that person will be exactly the same as a person in the same age and gender. If this person, other person, is a nebuch, a cripple who is extremely physically challenged, makes no difference. The erech is exactly the same. That is Erechin. Therefore, Erechin has different divisions in life depending on your age and your gender. There's an age between 30 days and 5 years. A male will be so, and all females will be so. There's an age between 5 years and 20. All males will be so, all females will be so. Between 20 and 60, and 60 plus. Males and females. That's Erechin. Then there's something else called Domei Olai. Domei Olai means that a person says, I want to give, the value of this person is on me. The value. And that is already considered a neder. Yeah, that is already considered you have to give the value. Now, the value is how much this person is worth on the slave market, if there was a slave market. Obviously, it would be very easy to work it out. How much would this person be worth? Depending on his physical strength, depending on his mental capacities, depending on his experience in life, depending on his... if he's streetwise or not, how much money he can bring. It may depend on dozens of different factors that you'll have to get an actuary of slaves to work out. And this person is assessed and he's worked out, and you have to pay that person's value, either of myself or somebody else. So his erichin is always a fixed amount. Domei Olai is really depending upon each particular person that you want to give the money of this particular person, how much this person is worth. Okay? And Erechin and Domei Olai has differences. Erech, if a guy says, I want to get the Erech of myself, it means nothing. It means nothing. He does not chayiv to give, not obligated or obliged to give Hekdush anything at all. But if he says, I want to give the Erech of this Jew, then a guy is obliged to do so. If, however, the guy says, I want to give my value, domayalai, he's obliged, he's obligated. If he says, domay of the Jew, he's obligated. Why is it that erichin is different to domayalai, whether the guy can't do it on himself, cannot do another guy, he can only do it on another Jew, but with domayalai, it does work. Third question is, that if a person comes and he says, I want to give the value of my hand to Hekdush. Erech yodi olai. I want to give the value of my hand to Hekdush. You have to see how much that hand is worth. If this person is a professional pianist, then his hand, you know, they have people that sometimes insure, they take insurance out on their voice. Yeah, people take insurance out on their hands. Yeah, crazy things. But people do that because if a person's a professional pianist or a violinist, then his hands are very valuable. If he's working in an orchestra, you have to value the hands. The person says, Domei olai, I want to give the value of my hands to Hekdush. Then you'll work out how much his hands are worth, and you will have to give that amount to Hekdush. If by Erechin, a person says, I want to give the Erech of my hands, Erech does not mean value, I want to give the Erech of my hands, then it means absolutely nothing, doesn't have to give a penny. Only when he says Erech of a particular part of the body that the body relies on. In other words, if a person says, I want to give the Erech of my heart, then you work out how much his whole Erech is worth. The Mishnah's Loshon is, Zeh klal, dover shehaneshomo teluya boy, something that the person's life depends on it, then you give the Erech of the whole body. But if it's a hand, if it's a leg, if it's a kidney, perhaps, yeah, if it's a, he can live without it, one lung, yeah, then he doesn't have to give anything at all. Domeolai, any particular thing, an ear, a nose, anything like that, you'll work out domeolai. What's the difference between erichin and domeolai? Why is there this discrepancy? What we really have to understand is, why are there those two things in Bechlal? If there's such a thing called domeolai, where a person can start valuing very carefully and specifically and calculate mathematically how much he is actually worth and is obliged to give that to Hekdush, why at all is there another concept called Erechin which is so broad that it depends how old you are and what gender you are and that's it? Why are there those two concepts if Domei Olai is so much more exact? Why is there Erechin as well in the Torah? Okay? Now, so the Al-Shech HaKadosh explains at this. He says, as way of introduction, he says, if you look in the Pasuk, in Perek Chof Zayin, Pasuk Beis, he says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, speak to Klal Yisrael, va'amarta aleihem. What's this Daber, speak to Klal Yisrael, va'amarta aleihem, and tell them. What's this double loshen? Daber, va'amarta aleihem, speak to them and tell them. Normally it's Daber el b'nei Yisrael. What's va'amarta aleihem? Number two, what's Peshal ish ki yafli neder? What's ki yafli? Yafli does this wondrous thing. Yafli, what's yafli? It's just ish ki yadir neder. A person who does a neder. A person who neders a neder. Yeah? What's ki yafli neder? What's this yafli business? Number two. And thirdly, he asks Rashi's question. What does it mean, er kecho? For hoya er kecho, says Rashi, er kecho kumoy erech, the kefel hakafi means erkecho, kof kof, erkecho, lo yadarti me eiz eloshen hu. Rashi said, I do not understand why it says erkecho. What should it say? It says, vahoya erech. What's erkecho? And it uses the pasuk, vahoya erkecho, your erech, vahoya erech azocha, the erech of azocha, the erech of azocha, and the erech of your zocha, erkecho hazocha. It doesn't seem to make sense that you, the zocha, just v'hoya erech, the value of a zocha should be X. Why say v'hoya erech achor? Rashi doesn't know what it's talking about. So he says that this, explains to Al-Shech, that erechin is teaching us a completely different lesson to domei olai. There's two different mitzvahs completely. There's a mitzvah of valuing Domi Olai, how much is this person worth? Giving the value of this person to a Hekdesh. That is the physical value. The physical value, you take him to a I don't know, where there's still slavery today, maybe South Africa, right? And you work out exactly how much he's worth in the slave market, how much experience he has, what's his criminal record, and you work out physically how much he is worth. That is Domi Olai. Erechin is something else completely. Erechin is Ish Ki Yafli Neder. Yafli means a lotion of Hafla. Hafla means a form of separating to Kedusha. Erechin is about identifying the value of a person's neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about valuing his value, physical value. That's Erech Alai that you've got to pay financially how much he's worth. Erechin Yafli is Loshon Hafla. Hafla means separated, secluded. Something that is a Loshon of Kedusha. Kedusha means to separate. Hari Atma Kedusha does not mean you're sanctified to me. It means you're separated from me. So therefore, Hafla, the Kedusha, Erechin, is valuing the person's, is trying to identify the value this person has as a neshama, as a human being that has been given a Kedusha to his neshama. And when a person says, "Is Rabbeinu Shleilam, I am now trying to understand the kedusha that is lying within this person, and therefore I want to give and translate the kedusha that this person has into money and give that to Hekdesh." So it's not valuing something physical; it's valuing something spiritual. Is it erech in something spiritual? Now, obviously, there's no way a person can possibly identify the spirituality of another individual. You could be somebody who looks extremely holy, mamish, tzaddik yisoidonim it looks like, and he could be a terrible rasha. So you can't value how much this person is and say, this person is a tzaddik, yeah, he's been to this and this yeshiva, he wears this and this kippah, he must be a big tzaddik. This person, he wears this and this kippah, chas v'shalom, there's no way we can identify with that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, leave that to me. All you have to do is value that according to the age and the gender. And the age and the gender of different individuals, different stages of their life, have different responsibilities to Rabbeinu Shleilam. And those neshamas, yeah, within the spirituality of the person holding at that particular stage in life, the responsibilities he or she may have is valued by you at a fixed amount. Because there's no way you can value people. So the Pasuk is saying, Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleim. Tell Klal Yisrael the halachas of Erechin. V'amarta aleim, but warn them beforehand as introduction. Ish ki yafli neder. This is different to working out value. V'amarta aleim, explain to them before you even start as introduction a very important thing. Is ish ki yafli neder. The neder over here is working about kedusha, of valuing through Erechin the kedusha human being has. And the erkachon nefoshis lahashem, the erechin is what you are doing nefoshis lahashem as a nefesh to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The erkachon, what's the erkachon? The erkachon means if I would be valuing the person, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if I would do the valuation, which I obviously can, Kadosh Baruch Hu can, then I would be giving every single individual at every single moment of his day a different erechin. A person in the morning has not done as many mitzvahs as a person at night. And therefore each person has his own amount. But since it's be'erkachot, since you human beings are doing the erechin, since you human beings are doing it, then there's no way you can possibly work out how the value of each Jew. And therefore, I'm telling you, be'erkachot, when you work out a zochah between 20 and 60, work out according to this. And be'erkachot, when you work it out, human beings, a woman work out, because there's no way you can work it out. And for this you can understand the three questions we asked. We asked, why is it that Erechin is so broad that it depends who the person is within the age and the gender, and that's it? And you don't work out like Domi Olai. Why is it so unspecific? The answer is because there's no way we can know who a Jew is. It's all about working out the neshama. Hashem says, leave that to me. I'll just get roughly what the person's responsibilities are. If you want to look in and understand why exactly those amounts, Rav Shamshon Fahal Hirsch talks about it. The Alshich talks about it, the Shlach Kodesh talks about it. Why exactly the three, the five? He explains that we can't go into. It's not the the spirit of the Shir. But those are the amounts he can do it. Why is it that a goy can't have an Erechin? Because a goy doesn't have that Kedusha. A goy can't say Erech Alai. What Kedusha do you have? What responsibilities does a goy have? Zaymis Bnei Noach. That's not Erechin. Erechin is a goy can make an Erech on another Jew, because that is identifying the Kedusha that lies within Am Yisrael. And then, that's why it makes sense in Loshon the Mishnah. Dovo shahan neshama tluya boy. Something that the neshama is tali on it. It's my diuk. It should say dovo shachaim tluyim boy, that you're alive with. Dovo shan shom tluya boy. Something that the neshama is reliant on it. That is erichin. Therefore, something that an organ that keeps a person alive, that keeps the neshama connected, that is how you, that's how you work it out. Not similar to domi alive, which is all about physicality, is how much a person's worth in this world. So erichin is identifying the spirituality, working out, trying to see what this person is worth to Ribbono Shel Olam, and making that into a physical financial payment that I set aside for the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is erichin. That is Masechta's erichin. So Rav Moshe Feinstein asks, and he's got a few beautiful pieces in this week's parasha. If so, why is it that we have two different parashas? Why is it that we have erichin, which is only connected to the age of a person, right? A zocher, every single male between 20 and 60, you'll pay X amount. You pay 50 shekel, right? every woman to 20 and 60, you pay 30 shekel. Why? This guy could be a tremendous tzaddik, a tremendous godless, and you pay the same amount? Because it's nothing to do with how you value somebody. Yeah? But domei alai, you work out how valuable this person is. Why are there these two things? Erechin, which is a fixed amount, and domei alai, which a person says, I'm obliged to pay the person's value, that is worked out according to the person. So what's the idea behind it? What are these two mitzvahs? What's this for? So Moshe said, this will teach us a very, very important point. He says, every single human being, everyone, is born with a basic potential that they have to fulfill. A basic value that they have to live up to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts a person to the world with a basic responsibility that he has to fulfill in his lifetime to reach that basic level. That's Erechin. Erechin is the basic, people between 20 to 60 have these obligations, people between 5 and 20 have these obligations, and that's a moshel to life. That a person has basic responsibilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put him into this world basically to fulfill. And that is easy for that person to reach. Yeah, that person is very much in a comfort zone. He is comfortably able to fulfill that. He doesn't have to work too hard. He has his 9-to-5 job. He comes home, he puts his feet up, and he's done what he needs to do. That is Erechin. He said, but over and above that, a person has to know that there's a potential within each and every one of domei alai, of adding value to yourself through your own efforts and through your own ambitions, of bringing yourself up and over and above the basics that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you, working on yourself more that you can become not Erechin, the basically look at how old I am, guys, look around me, we're all the same. No, a person has an ability to work on himself and to make himself more valuable, and that has no limits at all. Rav Moshe says a person, a Rebbe, a father, or a person within himself has got to know, what is my minimum level? Who am I? What do I find easy to do? What is my minimum? Am I a person who can learn 4 hours a day? That's easy for me. Am I a person who learns 12 hours a day? What's easy for me? What is something I can do easily? And make sure, chas v'shalom, we never go below that level. Never go below that level of your erich, of what is a basic responsibilities. But chas v'shalom, to stop there. Once you know what you can do, then there's a whole new level of domei alai, of pushing yourself harder and flexing your muscles and moving up one level after the other of becoming great. There are so many average people in the world. There are so many. The world is full of average people who are basically doing what they have to do. Greatness is done when one pushes oneself and domei alai, and through one's own efforts becomes great. So those are the two mitzvahs. There's the Erechin, which is the basic level. Everyone's basically the same. We're all doing what we have to do. Basically, not murdering. We're paying our taxes. We're basically going to shul on Shabbos. We're basically buying Israel bonds. We're all okay. But domei alai is what you are, what you valued, what experience you had in life, what you're putting into life. That's why the two separate mitzvahs. And with that, Rav Moshe says another vort later on in the parasha, with an extremely important vort in Chinuch. Extremely important vort in Chinuch. I think every parent should know this vort. At the end of the parasha, it talks about Maisa Behema. In other words, there's a mitzvah for a person, there's a chiv in the Torah, when a person has 10 sheep to give Maisa Behema. How's a Maisa Behema work? That you make a, you have your sheep, all your sheep in a very, very big pen, and you make a very narrow entrance, exit to your pen. And you count the sheep. 1, 2, 3. 10th one, you make a mark, and that becomes Maisa. Right? That becomes Maisa. What you can't do is, you've got 100 sheep in your field, take 10, and that'll be Maisa. No, you gotta go through this process of a random process where the 10th one becomes Maisa. Says the Torah, listen to this unbelievable vort. Says the Torah, what happens if this person is a very big tzaddik, and he wants to make sure that the Maisa is, the 10th one is the best behema possible. If a person gives a neder, a person makes a neder, a person says, I am obliged to give a beautiful korban. The mitzvah is to give the very nicest korban, right? So what happens if he has some beautiful, 10 out of his 100 sheep are beautiful? So what does he do? He makes sure that the 10th one in line is the best sheep. It sounds like he's doing a great thing, right? Says a pasuk, any of your cattle or sheep that go underneath the shevet, underneath the stick, ha'asiri yiyeh kodesh Hashem. The 10th one is kodesh Hashem. Lo yivake ben toiv l'ra. Don't be mavake. In other words, don't choose good over bad, says Rashi. Don't negotiate that the last one, the 10th one, should be the better one. Don't try and get yourself involved in this. Lo yivake ben toiv l'ra. Don't make it that the 10th one is the one that will go out, even the 10th one is, you think is going to be the best one. You see, the 10th one is very nebuchadnezzar, so you quickly change it, you push in a much better one. Oh, this 10th one is nice. No, you know how to do that. Lo yivake ben toiv l'ra. Says the pasuk, v'lo yimirenu. Not only that, if the 10th one was not good, you're not allowed to take the kedusha from this not good one and put it on a good one. And say, you know what? Hashem, I'll switch the kedusha from this very weak looking sheep. I'll put it and make that different, much better looking sheep the mice. That you're not allowed to do. Asks Rav Moshe, why not? Why not? What is wrong with giving mice the most choice? The best choicest cattle and sheep that comes out, making the 10th one the best. And if you're not allowed to do that, in other words, if you're not allowed to manipulate the system to make the 10th one come out the choicest behemoth, certainly I'm not allowed to, once it is already Kodosh, take the Kedusha off one and swap it for one that's not Kodosh. So why does the Pasuk say, don't originally manipulate that the 10th one is different to how it will naturally come out? And number two, says the Pasuk, and once it did come out weaker, don't change the Kedusha. Obviously, if I can't even manipulate the beginning, certainly I can't change the Kedusha. Says Rav Moshe, this is a lesson for life. This is a lesson in Chinuch. Says Rav Moshe, you know what? We get people who say, you know, I've got different children. I've got different sons. This son is a big Talmud Chacham. I'll send him to an excellent yeshiva. This son, he's not so, you know, he's more of a businessman. He's more businessman. It's a shame for him, you know, to waste his life, and let him go and learn a trade. Or a person within himself. You know what, let's leave Torah learning to Talmid Chachamim. I will be the worker, and I'll do what I can, but it's not for me, Torah is not for me. Says the Pasuk, Lo yivake ben toiv l'ra. You have no right to choose who's good and who's not good. You have no right to choose who's going to be the Maisa LaHashem, who's going to be the one set aside for Kodesh Baruch Hu. A parent has no right to say, this child, I'm going to give more potential to become a Talmid Chacham than the other, because he is naturally more scholarly. A parent has no right to do that. You've got to give every one of your children the exactly the same opportunity, even if he looks weaker. Give them the opportunity to become great. You have no right to deprive them of that. Lo yivake ben toiv l'ra. Don't manipulate the system that the cleverest kid will be the one who goes to the best yeshivas. Why? Obviously, don't push your kids, know what your kids need, and give them the infrastructure, and give them the support, and give them the help that they need to become great. But don't deprive one of the other because, nah, this kid is not so bright. I'll send him to work instead. No, you've no right to do that. Give him the opportunity. And even when a person has done what he has to do, in other words, even within a person has been to the yeshivas, and a person has grown and he has learnt, never may a person say, you know what? I've had enough learning. I've had enough growth. Now let me close the Gemara, let other people learn. No. Lo yimirenu. Even if you have now become that great person, you have no right to stop learning. Lo yimirenu, you have no right to say, I'm going to step back, let somebody else take the Kedusha. I'm going to take the Kedusha for myself onto somebody else. Because a person has never, ever the right to stop growing. A person has a minimum level of erichin, but a person has an obligation to grow and grow and grow. And the growth is everything. That is what the Torah values. And I tell you, and for this, if that's Peshat, Torah values growth, this makes sense in a very, very difficult question the Rishonim and Achronim asked in this week's parasha. Okay? Back to erichin. Erichin is about the parasha of erich alai and dome alai. The basic minimum and the Dome Alai and the value that is over and above, the Meir Rosh explains, the potential that a person works over and above his koichos to become greater. And it's all about growth. Look at this. In the parasha of Erichin, let me explain, there are four different stages of life. Okay? There are four different stages of life. There is an age when a child becomes already beyond the stage of being in danger of dying, you know, like in his youth. Over 30 days, you say the child's going to live. Between 30 days and 5 years, that is one stage. One stage of life. And in that, it's split between the erich, as it were, of a male and a female. Okay? It's not, again, worth. It's not nothing to do with worth. I've said it before. Erich has nothing to do with worth. It's got to do with the responsibilities for Kedusha. And there's a difference between a male and a female. Okay? Then the second stage is, so again, the first stage is from 30 days to 5 years. The second stage is from 5 years until 20. Again, difference between a male and a female. The third stage is between 20 and 60. Difference between male and female. And the fourth stage is 60 plus. Those are the four stages. Okay? Now, the most valuable stage, the value that the erich is the most, is between 20 to 60. After that, the value, yes, after that, the value is between
60.
Is between 5 to 20. The value after that is 60 plus. And the value after that is 0 to 5. That's how, if you look in the parasha, that is how the values go. So 20 to 60 is the most, biggest erich. After that, it's between 5 and 20, the second biggest. The third biggest is 60 plus. And the fourth biggest is 0 to 5. Look in the parasha how the parasha puts in the different erichin. The parasha says, number one, it talks about v'hoye erichocha azochem ben esrim shona v'abein shishrim shona. It talks between 20 to 60. Okay, so that is the most valuable. Then it talks about between 5 and 20. So again, it's going down in levels, right? The most valuable, and then it's going down between 5 and 20. The next one, and then it goes, next one it talks about, the third one it talks about is if it's 30 days to 5 years. How does that come in? And then at the end it starts talking about 60 plus. Asks the Rishonim and Achronim that don't understand. Either work out quantum down in value, yeah, 20 to 60, 5 to 20, next one is 5 to 20 is 60 plus, and then 30 days to 5, or go the other way around, or talk about ages, go in order of age, or work age downwards. But what is this that suddenly it goes completely out of order? What is this? You start talking about 20 to 60, which is the biggest value, 5 to 20, which is the biggest value, then it goes 60 plus, which is what? Then it goes to fourth value, which is 30 days to 5 years, and then the third value, which is 60 plus. It doesn't seem to fit any kind of order. Says the Alshich that Erichin is all about Kedusha, and Kedusha we don't value as results. Kedusha we value as the journey. And as long as you're making the correct journey, the long as you are focusing on growth, the path you are taking has value. Therefore the parasha says, from 20 to 60, 20 to 60 is when a person grows the most. They have Torah behind them, they have Mishnah behind them, they've been married already according to the order the Mishnah says in Ovis where a person should be between 20 to 60. And therefore this is the ages of when he's growing the most. He's growing daily. 20 to 60 therefore is the first thing that we mention in the parasha. Erechin is about the journey of growth. 20 to 60 is the greatest growth spurt is then, and therefore we start talking about Erechin as the first greatest movement from one level to the other. The next level of growth is when a person is between of 5 to 20. He doesn't have the life experience behind him. He doesn't have the maturity behind him, but he's growing. He's growing. He's growing slowly. He's been Chomish and Mikra, and then Ben Esel and Mishnah, and then he's growing from level to level, and therefore he is the next one in the parasha. The next one in the parasha is between 30 days and 5 years. How much is he growing? Very little. Very little. A child of 3 months, how much is he growing? Spiritually, very little. Yes. But he's preparing to grow. He is preparing to get to the stage of between 5 and 20 when he's preparing to grow. He is on the right direction. He is on the right path. And therefore he is the third one stated in the parasha. The one the parasha says is the least that we want to talk about is 60 plus. Where generally, chas v'shalom, not everyone, generally, a person is tired. A person has learnt all everything. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. They've done it already. Don't try and teach me something. I know, young man, what's going on. Mine's the once there was a certain woman who was staying by us, and a certain rav said to her, she's an older woman, do you want to come to a shir? She says, what's a shir on? The shir is on Midas, how to be a mensch. She says, I know how to be a mensch, thank you very much. There's a certain age where you know it all. The will to grow, the eyes to see that there's opportunities to be different, a person leaves behind. And therefore, within the parashas Erechin, 60 plus, although it may be the Erech, the obligations, the responsibilities, and therefore the amount you have to pay for the Erechin may be more than a child of 30 days to 5 years, but with regard to the path, the focus, the direction of where they're traveling, they are the furthest away. And therefore, Parshas Erechin is all about valuing the Kedusha that you have in each person. It's valuing the path of growth. That is Erechin. It's identifying the responsibilities and trying to translate that. We don't know what it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Erechecho. Now, this makes sense. The Baal HaTurim says, why is it that Parshas Erechin is connected to the parasha of Teichocha? There was a connection between Parshas Erechin and parasha of Teichocha. So Baal HaTurim says that if you count out all the amounts of the Erechin all the way through, there's, for example, between 20 to 60, there's 54 male and 34 female. So it's 50 and 30. Yeah, the next one is between 5 and 20. A male is 20 and a woman is 10. Then from 30 days till 5 years, a male is 5 and a woman is 3. And then 60 plus, a male is 15 and a woman is 10. So altogether it's 143 shekel. If you add them all up, 143 shekelim. And that is parallel to the amount of klalos in Parshas Vayikra and Parshas Devarim, which is 45 in Parshas Vayikra and 98 in Parshas Devarim, which is 143 klalos. So the Erechin has a connection to the amount of the Erechin, and 143 it has a connection to the Teichocha. Okay, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing to work it out. By the way, it's a bit of a tzorach iyun because there's 49 klalos. But anyway, it's a tzorach iyun on the Baal HaTurim, how he works out only 45. But still, there's 143 klalos in the Torah, and that represents 143 shkolim in Erechin. So kapshuto, you can answer very simply that we learn from here that tzedakah tatzil mimavis. That in some way, the tzedakah that a person gives and the over and above, that counters the klolos HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. Fine, that's one way of learning. But the Chozer von Eblin says a most beautiful pshat And with that, I want to answer, just bring a story to this, and then we'll end the shit. The Chozer of Rablim says like this. He says that when a person reads through these Toichachos, and he sees the anger and wrath of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, when people do not keep the mitzvahs, it very much is like a child who gets a good punch from his father for doing something terrible. And the child in his immaturity does not realize that the reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving him this punch is because a Kodesh Baruch Hu loves him. A child runs into the street, front of a car. So the father gives him a good punch. Whether it's the right thing to give a punch or not, absolutely not the discussion of the shir, right? But he gives him a punishment, and the child thinks, oh, my father doesn't love me. You fool. You idiot. Your father loves you so much, that's why he has to show you what not to do in the future. And a person's immaturity will go through the parasha and read through the parasha and see, oh, Kodesh Baruch doesn't really care that much. Look at this terrible thing that Kodesh Baruch cares about us. Kal v'chaymah, how much more so if a person is actually suffering Yisurim, a person actually suffering a Toichacha, suffering illness, suffering poverty, he doesn't see the Rebbein Shalom, that Rebbein Shalom cares that much. Says a parasha of Erechin, you're wrong. You're wrong. Every single Jew has an Erech. Every single Jew has a value. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu values and loves and appreciates every single Jew. And therefore understand that. Understand you have a value. And understand that your value can become Domei Alai if you work on your value. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing it for you. And therefore Parashat Toichacha, that shows Kaviyocha, Kodesh Baruch Hu turning his back, is brought back into focus with Parashat Erechin showing that every Jew a Kodesh Baruch Hu values and loves. So that's what Chozer Lepon Ablin says. My Rebbe Reb Chaim Kaufman says the most amazing story in the name of story about the Ponovitch Rav. The Ponovitch Rav was a Rav in Lithuania in Ponovitch, and he lost his family, and as a brave man he came over to Eretz Yisrael, and with his genius, with his passion, with his tenacious nature, he built up Torah in Eretz Yisrael. People thought Nebuchadnezzar, he lost his mind. He stood once on a empty hilltop in Bnei Brak, where there was nothing growing, nothing happening in Bnei Brak. And he said, just before Rommel was about to attack Israel, he said, over here is going to be a huge yeshiva. And people, Nebuch, literally, I'm talking about literally, not figuratively, thought he had lost his mind because of all his suffering. Rommel was about to attack, there's going to be a yeshiva here. Rabbi Isai, go to Bnei Brak today, you'll see thousands of people learning in Ponovitch. Thousands! Right? That's a Ponovitch Sharov. The Ponovitch Sharov happened to be on an Erev Shabbos in a absorption center in Haifa, where Jews Nebuch had come off a ship, and they were thrown into a drab little absorption center in Haifa, and they had lost their families, and they had lost their children and their wives and their husbands Nebuch, and they'd all been stuck in this absorption center, and the Ponovitch Rav was asked by those people who were looking after them, give them some chizuk, give them something that's going to uplift them. And the Ponovitch Rav said to them as follows, Moirav Rabbi Isai, I got to tell you something. You come now to Eretz Yisrael, and you've lost your parents, some of you. You lost your wife, you lost your children. This is Rebbein Shalom who cares. This is Rebbein Shalom that you're going to be working now to be Moisen Nefesh for Torah in Eretz Yisrael. That's what it's all about. How are you going to do this? Let me tell you. He said, there's a story in Ponovitch. There was a very, very simple Jew. He was a tailor. And he had a wonderful, wonderful son. And this son became a Talmud Chacham. And eventually he married the daughter of the Rav. The Rav in town. And this Jew, this tailor, he kept Shabbos more or less. He kept Kashrus more or less. He went to Daven when he could, but nothing special. One day, after the shidduch, he comes back to his wife and says to his wife, you know something? We can't eat this meat anymore in our house. We're mechatonim with the Rav. We're mechatonim. If the Rav wants to come and eat in our house, we'd be embarrassed. Our son is now married. We can't eat this food in the house. We're different level now. Fine. They stopped eating that particular heksha and ate a more mahadrin heksha. A few days later, can I stay in bed for shachris? People are saying, this is the mechutin of the Rav. This is the Rav's mechutin. This is one who's reshpacha with the Rav. It's embarrassing for me to be in bed. I'm mechutin with the Rav. I can't possibly do this. I've got to daven more. And he started davening more. He started keeping Shabbos more. He started having better kashrus. The whole house changed because he's mechutan of the Rav. Says the Ponovitch Rav. How many people are the mechutanim with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This man, this tailor, gave his son to be mechutan with the Rav. You have given your wives to be mechutanim with the Rav. You've given your husbands to be mechutanim with the Rav. You've given your children on the mizbeach of the Shah to be mechutanim with the Rav. Can you behave the same way? Can you behave the same way you did before the war started? You mechutanim with the Rav. Everyone's saying, look at these wonderful people. They are so dedicated, they've sacrificed for the sake of Kiddush Mayim. Their families were Rabbeinu Shlom. Can you act the same way? That was a Divrei Chizuk. That is Erechin. Every Jew has an Erech. Every Jew has a basic value, has a basic potential. But it's up to us to focus on the growth. To turn it from Erechin to Dome Olai, to focus on the growth. And that is endless. It's all about the path of growth. Once a person stops growing, the Torah has no interest. That's not interesting. A person's got to grow and grow. And that is Parshas Erechin. Erechin and Maisa, don't deprive anyone of growth. You have no right to deprive yourself or your children or your family or Tamidim of growth. Everyone has potential. Everyone has a right to have the privilege to be given that prize to be able to grow and grow and grow. Chazak, chazak, v'nischazik. Yeah.